turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, and also the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We've preached several messages from this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 5. I feel it's something we ought to give heed to, especially as we enter into a new year. But in verses 21 through 24, Genesis chapter 5, "And Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. "By faith," this is how Enoch walked with God, "by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Back in Genesis chapter 5, you have the genealogical record of Adam through the line of Seth. Our text is the record of Enoch in this genealogy. Leading up to Enoch, there were six men, or six generations. You have Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, and Jared. So Enoch is the seventh, and that's what the book of Jude tells us. Following Enoch, there are three more men or generations. You have Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. You have a total of 10 generations. As you read through the genealogy, you see that there are 1,056 years from Adam to Noah. 1,056 years from Adam to Noah. As you read the genealogy, and we've preached on this, there is a very definite pattern. You have a name. You have the age of that person when they begat a child. And then you have how many years they lived after they begat a child. And then that was followed, and he died, or by death. The pattern is marked by these words: lived, begat, and he died. And that pattern is seen throughout. Coming to our text, verse 21, it begins by following the same pattern that is seen throughout the genealogy. Nothing is said in verse 21 that would set Enoch apart from all those who went before him. Everything's the same there in verse 21. But then comes verse 22. And suddenly there is a shift in the pattern. We read something that we had not read in the first 21 verses. "And Enoch walked with God." So the pattern has now been broken. That ought to immediately grab our attention. You're following a pattern, and then all of a sudden the pattern is broken. That ought to get your attention. "And Enoch walked with God." Now, had the pattern remained the same in verse 22, we would have read, "And the days of Enoch, after he begat Methuselah, were 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters." But that's not what verse 22 says. There are five additional words in verse 22. "And Enoch walked with God." And then following the record of Enoch, you go back to the pattern. It continues. So, you read on in the record of Enoch, and there's another break in the pattern in verse 23. Had the pattern remained the same in verse 23, it would have read, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and he died." But there is no "and he died." And then reading on in verse 24, it is again repeated, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now there's quite a difference between what is said of Enoch and what is said of all the others mentioned in the genealogy. And then the writer of Hebrews, there in Hebrews 11, writes concerning this, "By faith, Enoch was translated." That means he was changed. He was transformed. He was altered. And that is referred to three times in Hebrews 11, verse 5. Three times, this translation. It was something that was wonderful. It was something that was incredible. Enoch was not. Suddenly he's gone. Suddenly he's been lifted up to heaven. Now, after Enoch's first 65 years, he lived a life that brought a change in him. And that's our subject this morning, a life of translation. You know, as you enter a new year, last Sunday was the first Sunday of the new year. But people, lost people, saved people, there's nothing wrong with it. They make New Year's resolutions. People get a feeling of a new beginning. But let's be honest. Most people live the same old year again. I mean, if we're honest, that's the truth. With few exceptions, it's the same old year again. Why is that? It's because a change does not take place. Just like if you diet. You can go on diets and diets and diets. You get off the diet, you gain the weight right back. And you hear over and over, there has to be a change in lifestyle. That's true. That is also true spiritually. There has to be a change. And Enoch was changed because he walked with God. And we want to notice some things that we ought to be mindful of in considering the life of Enoch. The summation of his life is found in those words, "Enoch walked with God." What a statement. Enoch walked with God. Enoch was a man. Like ourselves, he was a man of flesh and blood. He was not an angelic being. He was a man of flesh and blood. And this man of flesh and blood walked with God. Being a man of flesh and blood, he had infirmities. He had limitations, just like you and I. He had a sinful nature. What does that mean? That means that he had natural inclinations towards sin and away from God. He had temptations. He had inward spiritual battles and struggles. And Enoch walked with God. As a man, he had worldly matters to attend to. We read in verse 21 that he begat Methuselah. And in verse 22, Enoch begat sons and daughters. So he had, we don't know how many children he had, but he had more than one. He was a man who had a wife. He was a man who had a family, which means that he had earthly responsibilities. He had earthly burdens. He had earthly concerns. He had trials. He had difficulties. He had troubles. He had distractions. And Enoch walked with God. Even with all of that, Enoch walked with God. He also lived in very sinful times. Times similar to our days. Enoch lived in a very wicked and degenerate society. Yet he walked with God. He lived in pre-flood times. We're told before Christ comes, it'll be like the days of Noah. He lived in pre-flood times. In those times, the emphasis was not upon the worship of God, nor is it today. The emphasis was not upon walking in a way that was pleasing to God. People gave that little to no thought, as it is today. And yet, Enoch walked with God. He lived in times when the emphasis was upon the pleasures of life. And that is the emphasis today. There are some who are not here today because they are sick. There are others who are not here today because the emphasis is upon pleasure. And this was the same as in the days of Enoch. The emphasis was upon, not upon pleasing God, not upon worshiping God, but upon pleasure. The attitude of the day was eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, have a good time. Life is short, have a good time. Life is short, so serve God. It was a day of mockers. It was a day of despisers, a day when people took great pleasure in sin. They not only lived in sin, they took pleasure in it. They not only lived in sin, they were unashamed of it. What's astounding today is people post their sin on Facebook and Twitter. Why do they do that? Because they have no shame. None. So in the days of Enoch, there was no shame. People spoke against the message of God. They even mocked the promises of God. And they ridiculed anyone who would even try to live a godly life. And yet Enoch walked with God. It was a time when there were very few who loved the Lord. It was a time when those who professed to love God, they were the sons of God. They were the very ones drawn aside by the daughters of men. God's people were being drawn aside by the daughters of men, by the fashions and by the pleasures of the hour. And yet, in the midst of it all, Enoch walked with God. It was a time when compromise was the order of the day. Again, the sons of God were marrying the daughters of men. That is, saved were marrying unsaved. People were making unholy alliances. And God's people were being swallowed up with the ways and the philosophies and the pursuits of the world. And yet, Enoch walked with God. It was a time of great indifference, time of great coldness toward God and toward His ways. And it was not only a wicked and degenerate and perverted society, but it was increasingly getting worse. And yet Enoch walked with God. We hear all the time, oh, it's so hard today. So it was in the days of Enoch, and Enoch walked with God. And so you and I can as well. So what we have before us is a man, like you and I, who, like you and I, had earthly responsibilities. He had burdens, he had troubles. And like you and I, he lived in perilous times. Times when satanic influence had saturated society. Time when the forces of hell were on a rampage. And all around him is filth. All around him is the vileness and the wickedness and the heresy and the abomination and the blasphemy. And even God's people were being drawn to these things. Yet Enoch walked with God. What a testimony. What an encouragement to you and I. Enoch walked with God. So what does that mean? What does it mean? You notice, you never read of Enoch performing any miracles. There's no record that Enoch ever performed a single miracle in his life. What we read of him is Enoch walked with God. His life was a miracle. When a man or woman walks with God, that is a miracle. That is a miraculous life. And all through the Word of God, that word walk is used to describe one's habitual way of life. Their overall course of life. And Enoch walked with God. Enoch, the man who had earthly responsibilities and cares, the man who lived in God-despising times, walked. Speaking of his activity of life, this was the activity of his life. He walked with God. With God. That speaks of a relationship with God. So here is a man, in spite of his earthly his fleshly limitations, in spite of his earthly responsibilities, in spite of his earthly burdens and troubles, and in spite of the wickedness of the time, he lived his life in relation to God. So much so that it could be said Enoch walked with God. So what does that mean? Well, it implies that he knew God personally. And he had daily personal experience of the Lord. Enoch walked with God. When I speak of his knowledge of God, I'm not speaking of a secondhand knowledge, nor a knowledge of mere theory, but a knowledge that resulted in a close association with God. A knowledge that brought him into contact with the Lord. A knowledge of kinship. A knowledge of friendship. Enoch walked with God. Enoch was associated with God. Enoch was kin to God. Enoch was a friend of God, and vice versa. In the midst of everything, and no matter what happened, Enoch knew God. He knew Him personally. And there was an ever increase. And as he walked with God day by day for 300 years, he became more and more familiar with God. You go on a walk with somebody every single day for the rest of your life, and I guarantee you, you'll get to know that person better. You'll say, well, you know, I never knew that about them. You become more and more familiar with them. And you walk with somebody for 300 years, I believe you get to know them pretty well. And Enoch walked with God. It means that God was real to Enoch. You don't walk with the imaginary. Not if you're saying. Enoch walked with God. Everything about God was real to Enoch. As he walked with God, he heard his voice. The voice of God was very real to him. The touch of God was real to him. The power, his love, his kindness, his long-suffering, his mercy, his grace, his care, his presence were all very, very real to Enoch. These weren't just matters of theology. These were real. In the midst of everything, and no matter what happened, and a lot happens in the course of 300 years, God was real to Enoch. It also speaks of the fact that Enoch's life, his activity, was moving in the same direction as God. And Enoch walked with. Circle, underline, highlight that word. With. Enoch walked with God. He's with God. The pattern of his life is God. With God. That is, his life had a very distinct and definite direction. What is the direction of Enoch's life? With God. Wherever God went, there was Enoch. Enoch walked with God. That means that Enoch's life was moving in the opposite direction of the world. Because the world was not walking with God. His life was moving in the opposite direction of his times. And it was moving in a direction different from even the religious world. Enoch walked with God. This is not normal. This is not the usual. This is not the mainstream. Enoch walked with God. His principles, his motives, his focus, his goals, everything is moving in the direction of the Lord. Enoch walked with God. That speaks of common ground and agreement. I guarantee you, you're not going to walk on a daily basis with somebody that you do not have common ground and agreement with. You're not going to do it. You walk with those on a consistent basis that you are in agreement with. Enoch walked with God. You want to know why a lot of God's people do not walk with God? Because they do not agree with God. They would never admit that. But it's the truth. They do not agree with God. And the reason they walk with the world is because they're more in agreement with the world than they are God. But Enoch walked with God. In spite of the natural inclinations of his flesh, and in the midst of family issues, and he had family issues. Anyone who has family has issues. And there were circumstances. And in the midst of all his earthly responsibilities, and in the midst of a wicked and dysfunctional world, Enoch was on common ground with God. Is there a better place to be? Enoch walked with God. God was the subject of his life. God was the priority of his life. God was the influential force and energy of his life. God was the dominating factor of his life. At the end of a day, for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. For 300 years, at the end of the day, he could look at that day, he could review that day, and say, I have walked with God. What a life! And it's a life that all of us that are saved can have. For 300 years, he spent his days with God. How do we spend our day? Personal examination is needed. What fills our days? Can we, at the end of a day, review that day and say, I have walked with God today? Enoch walked with God. Again, we put the emphasis upon with. There was fellowship with God. With God. Jointly and together with God. Side by side with God for life. What a way to live. Side by side with God. Through the various seasons, through the various needs of life, through all the difficulties and the battles and the struggles and the sorrows and the trials and the burdens and the joys. He was side by side with God. In other words, there was a nearness to God. There was contact with God. Enoch was together with God. There was companionship with God. There was a togetherness with God. There was an association. There was an identification with God. And I would encourage all husbands and wives to walk together. But walk together with God. What a way to live. Walking together with God. Enoch walked with God. As he did so, he received direction from God. He received guidance. He received counsel from the Lord. He received consoling and strength and refreshment and peace. And yes, even rebuke. But he walked with God. When you walk with God, you will even receive rebuke. That's why, again, a lot of people don't walk with God. You know, everybody says, well, you know, no one's perfect. But if you remind them they're not, they get offended. If you even suggest that they're not perfect, they get offended. And something's wrong with that. Enoch walked with God. He fed upon God. He could see God. He could feel God. He was occupied with God. And you know what? He enjoyed God. So how do you know that? Because he wouldn't have done it for 300 years. Don't tell me you're going to do something for 300 years that you don't enjoy. He enjoyed God. A lot of God's people never enjoy the Lord. Enoch walked with God. We're told in verse 22 that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. This was his life. He didn't just do so for a little while and then back off and walk with the world. Then after a few months, come back and walk with God for a day or two. This was not an occasional thing. This was not an erratic thing. It was not some isolated incident. He walked with God for 300 years. For 300 years, whether the winds were blowing against him or all was calm, Enoch walked with God. During the course of 300 years, there were changes in his family. He begat Methuselah, but he begat sons and daughters after he begat Methuselah. So there were changes in his family, but he walked with God. During the span of 300 years, don't you think that there was some days of trouble, some days of adversity, some days of sadness, some days of heartache, some days of struggle? But each day he walked with God. There were times of great joy. There were times of abundant blessings. Whatever a day brought forth, Enoch walked with God. He believed God. He sought God. He came to God. And then he walked with God. This was an extraordinary life together with God. That needs to be our life, together with God. Side by side with God. So what led to this life? What motivated this life? Well, according to verse 21, he lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. After that statement, we read in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah, 300 years. Now, he may have walked with God to some degree, the first 65 years of his life, I don't know. But there is no doubt that those 300 years were different than the first 65 years. So even if he walked with God to some degree, those first 65 years, the next 300 after the birth of Methuselah, he walked with God to a greater degree. I don't know how he lived the first 65 years. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we know this. For 300 years, he walked with God. The truth is, the genealogy presents Enoch's life in two segments. 65 years and 300 years. Which implies that there was a difference between the two. For 65 years, the life of Enoch follows the pattern of the genealogy. That we know. But at the age of 65, there was a transitional point that would profoundly affect the rest of his life. And we need to put this in perspective. At 65 years of age, Enoch had only lived 17.8% of his life. You live 365 years, 65 is pretty young. You need to put that in perspective. Enoch walked with God and begat Methuselah 300 years, or about 82% of his life. About 82% of his life, Enoch walked with God. What percentage of our life have we walked with God? So what happened when Enoch was 65 years old? His son was born. And it was not simply the birth of a son that had such a dramatic impact upon Enoch's life. There's much more to it than that. First of all, God in His sovereignty told Enoch to name his son Methuselah. That name means when he is dead, or when he dies, it shall be sent, or it shall come. In other words, Methuselah was a symbol of the approaching judgment of God. So in the birth of Methuselah, Enoch received a message from God, that when Methuselah dies, God is going to pour His judgment, the flood, upon the world. That message got a hold of Enoch. To what degree? For the next 300 years, Enoch walked with God. For the next 300 years, Enoch believed, Enoch knew that when his son died, God's judgment would come. Imagine. Every time Methuselah got a cold or the sniffles or became ill, Enoch would think, this could be it. It changed his life. This message of God changed his life. Here we are today. People hear messages and it doesn't even change their day, let alone their life. This is a message that got a hold of Enoch. And it changed his life. Enoch understood. He believed wholeheartedly the message of God. And for the next 300 years, Enoch walked with God. He didn't just hear the message. He got it. He got it. There are very few today who get it. Very few. Enoch walked with God. The message got such a grip upon him that it affected the rest of his life. It turned his life upside down. Most people don't want that today. They don't want their lives turned upside down. This was a message that got a hold of Enoch and turned his life upside down. Through the birth of his son, the message of God was planted deeply in his heart and he never ever got away from it. And for 300 years, he had a seriousness. He had a sense of urgency. He had a passion. He had an earnestness. He had a commitment. He had a devotion and a dedication to and for God. For the next 300 years, the message had gotten hold of him. It changed him. It changed him. We need to be changed. Lives need to be changed. For the next 300 years, the motives of Enoch, the thinking of Enoch, priorities of Enoch, the goals of Enoch, were all being changed. As he walked with God, he was being changed. His life is now God-centered. His life is intertwined and weaved to God. Because this message got a hold of him. Changed everything about his life. We see it all the time. People hear a message. It can be a message of rebuke against certain activities, and then they'll walk right out that door and do it. And have the audacity to say, "I really enjoyed that message." They must mean in a humorous way. Because it wasn't serious to them. But here was a message that got a hold of Enoch and changed his life. Oh, for this book to get such a hold upon us that it changes our life. That it changes the way we live. And I want to tell you something else. For the next 300 years, Enoch was the husband that his wife needed. I don't know anything about his wife, nor do you. But I can tell you this, if Enoch walked with God, he was the husband his wife needed, and he was the father that his children needed. And if you want to be the husband your wife needs, or the wife that your husband needs, or the father or the mother that your children need, walk with God. That's what they need. Now notice the result of this life. We read in verse 24, "And he was not, for God took him." And that's explained in Hebrews 11, verse 5, where we read three times the words translated, translation. Simply means that Enoch was carried across. That Enoch was lifted up. He was changed from one place to another place. And I believe that was literally done for Enoch. I believe that God literally raptured Enoch out of this life. But there is a figurative lesson for you and I. Enoch was literally raised above the world. Because he walked with God. And if you and I would walk with God, we will be raised above the world. We will not be getting stuck in the pits of this world. It is as we walk with God that we're raised to a different place. Here was a man that the world could not hold down. God translated him. And for a man or woman to walk with God, the world cannot hold that man down. The world cannot hold that woman down. Walk with God and live above this world. Enoch walked with God. And he was changed. And he was being changed every single day. And we need to be conformed and being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And that happens as we walk with God. So here is a man who lived victorious over the pull and the force of the world. Let's be honest. We all feel the pull of the world. We all feel the force of the world. But we don't have to be pulled and forced by the world. We can walk with God. And in so doing, we resist that pull. We resist the force of the world. Here was a man who was not taken in by the influence of the world. And that's how we avoid not being taken in by the influence of the world. walk with God. Here's a man who lived a heavenly life upon earth. He walked with God. He lived the abundant life, a flourishing life. He lived a life of peace. He lived a life of glory to the Lord, a victorious life. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. We only do that as we walk with the Lord. So in closing, Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. All that each day we would seek to step out with God. Begin each day. I'm going to step out with God today. I'm going to walk with God today. And whatever comes, whatever it is we have to face, do it with God. Do it with God. Makes a big difference. Whether it be joyous times or sorrowful times, walk with God. Whether it be trying times or blessed times, walk with God. Whether it be dark or light, walk with God. Whether it be known or unknown, walk with God. Whether it be through enemy territory or with friends, walk with God. You will learn that if you're going to walk with God, there are certain people you cannot walk with because they're going in a different direction. Walk with God. May we each day walk with God. May we each day seek for God to change us. When was the last time you prayed, "Lord, change me"? Don't dictate to God in what way He should change you. Just ask God, "Lord, change me." Wherever it is, Lord, that you see I need changing, change me. And that change takes place as we walk with God. There's a change that takes place. Change us to what He would have us to be, to what would be most pleasing to Him. A walk with the world, a walk with self, will bring spiritual devastation. But a walk with God will lift us above this world and conform us to His image. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. He does. Walk with Him. Walk with the Lord. And I believe it's good practice at the end of each day to look back upon the day. Don't look back upon the day and how this person mistreated me and how this, what this, and all that. You'll get stuck in some bad places. Look back on the day and look at yourself. Have I walked with God today? As I look back on the day and see my footprints, where are they going? What a blessed thing to look back on a day and say, you know what, I've had a good day. I've walked with God today. Oh, there may have been some bad things that happened. But I walked with God today. And then we do that the next day. And then the next, and the next. None of us are going to live for 300 years. But we need to determine this. However many days I have left, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk with God. However many days there are. I'm not going to wait for anyone else. I'm not going to wait for my family. I've got to do what I've got to do. I'm going to walk with God. And no better way to start than today. But you know what? We can each determine, you know what? I agree. I'm going to start doing that. But it won't happen. It'll be the same old year all over again. Unless there's change. Unless the message of this book gets a hold of us and changes everything about us, we will not walk with God on a consistent basis. But this is the life that we can have. A walk with God. And then one day, we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We have a blessed present, and a blessed future. It's all with God. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.